We're turning together to Ephesians chapter 1, first of all, just for a reading, and then we'll be turning back to Matthew chapter 6. But Ephesians 1, we'll just read from the start of the chapter, Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We'll end there at verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 1 for a reading. It does connect in at least some of the themes that we've discussed there. We're turning to Matthew chapter 6, continuing in our series in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6, and particularly just the words that we'll find in verse 9, part of verse 9. The Saviour there says, Matthew 6, and verse 9, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven." And really, we're just going to confine ourselves to those words in verse 9, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Prayer is a wonderful privilege given to us. By prayer, we who are but creatures of dust are invited to come and draw into the presence of the Holy One. We're invited to draw near, to seek, and to receive his blessing. But immediately as we would think of this privilege of approaching God, the great God, the question comes, well, how do we approach him? In prayer, we are to draw near to God, but how do we go about it? In what manner do we come into his presence? And that's the issue that we're dealing with, and that which is addressed by these opening words in the Lord's Prayer, our approach unto God. In these opening words, you have this introduction, "Our Father, which art in heaven." And though the words are brief, just a few words there, yet it gives a very important foundation as to how we approach God in prayer. And so that's our theme tonight, approaching God in prayer. Approaching God in prayer. And the first thing, and it's the most obvious thing, and I suppose everything else flows from this, the most important point, if you remember nothing else, remember this. We are to approach God in relationship. We are to approach God in relationship. Notice that in our introduction here, we're told to say, "Our Father." Now, these are not words that can rightly be used by just anyone. They can only be used, really, by someone who is in this relationship with the Lord. Someone else might say the words, but that doesn't mean that they are appropriate or that they get a response. If I'm out doing the grocery shopping and a stranger's child comes running up to me and starts tugging on my shirt and says, "Daddy, Daddy, lift me." Well, for a start, I'm going to be very surprised. But then after that, maybe I'll find it amusing. Maybe I'll share a smile with whoever the child's parent is. But certainly I'm going to have to explain that, well, I'm not your daddy. I'm not your father. What are you doing tugging my shirt? Just because they've used the word doesn't mean they get the response that they want. It's totally different if Abaya, my daughter, runs to me and uses those words. Well, that's totally different. And the difference is that there is a relationship. She's my daughter. I am her father. It's appropriate for her to use those words. And that's the case in prayer. If we're going to approach the Lord, we have to do so in relationship with me. We have to be able to say truly, our Father, and be able to address our God in that way. We must come and approach God in relationship. Now, first of all here, that this relationship, it is founded upon redemption. It is founded upon redemption. When we see the word Father here, it's not used referring to God as the Father of all, in the sense that he's the creator of all. There is a sense, I suppose, in which God is the Father of all, in that he is the Father of creation. He has called all people, all things into existence. But that's not the way in which this word is being used. It's not speaking of God as the creator. It's used with respect to his relationship, specifically with his people, his relationship with us, which is formed through redemption. Now, when we're born into this world, yes, by creation, God is our Father. He's our creator. But in terms of our standing before him and our relationship with him, he's not our Father. For we're born in sin. We're born cut off from our God. Instead, the Bible would describe the devil as our Father. So in that terms of that relationship, this relationship between us and God, God is not our Father by nature. We're not part of the family of God. We're not part of the household of faith. We need God to become our Father. And the basis upon which he becomes our Father is through redemption. It's only in the provision of the gospel that we're brought into the family of God. We took a reading from Ephesians 1, and if you do still have it there, you'll see in Ephesians 1 God at work to make us his children. Perhaps you could notice the words of verse 5, that God has, or having, predestinated us onto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. God has purposed and elected, predestined us to be adopted, to receive this adoption of children, to be taken out of the old family and brought into his family to receive this adoption. God the Father predestinated us onto the adoption of children. He chose us, chose to set his love upon we who are his, to take us in. We were not his children, but he has adopted us. He has made us his own. And how did he do it? How does God make us his children? Well, it says there in verse 5 that it is by Jesus Christ to himself. Having predestinated us onto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It had to be by or through Jesus Christ, through his great work. If God was going to make us his children, he had to deal with our sin. Sin can't abide in his presence, and God doesn't welcome sin into his family. Sin must face God's judgment. He doesn't share part in it. If he's going to take us to himself, then he has to put sin away. There has to be a method found whereby our sin can be removed and dealt with entirely. And in love and mercy, God has found a way to do just that. He has done it by Jesus Christ. You see, this relationship is founded in redemption. As Ephesians 1 continues in verses 6 and 7, it says, the end of verse 6, he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in Christ. He's made us acceptable in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. If God was going to adopt us as his children, he had to make us acceptable. And to make us acceptable, it had to be through redemption, through Christ's blood. We had to receive the forgiveness of sins. The point, as we think of the opening to the Lord's Prayer, our Father, is that we need relationship to come unto God in prayer. And to have relationship with God, you need to have the benefits of Christ's great redemption. Redemption is the foundation for this relationship and therefore for prayer. Contained in these words, our Father, is an awareness of the finished work of Christ. We enter into God's presence aware that it is on the basis of Christ's death for us and upon no other ground. Without Christ's redeeming death, we cannot call God our Father. And really, we have no right to come before him in prayer. And God has no obligation to hear us in prayer when Christ is not our Saviour. If you don't know Christ, the point is that really, you've got no access. And it emphasises to us the great grace that the Lord has shown to give us Christ, to pay this great cost, even the shedding of Christ's blood, to give of his only begotten Son, so that we might have redemption, so that we might have relationship, so that we might have salvation and access to prayer and all of these blessings. We can approach God. And the foundation is this relationship through redemption. As we think of this relationship, and another point here, we have to say that it involves recognition. It involves recognition. It's founded upon redemption, but it involves recognition. When we come in prayer, we're told to say, "Our Father." And as we say those two words, we are claiming God to be our Father. Emphasis on the word "our." He's not just a Father, he's our Father. You can cry unto God, "My Father, our Father." Not just any Father, mine. The relationship is built upon redemption, in that Christ, through shedding his blood, allows for sin to be forgiven. We are reconciled to God, and we can receive the adoption of children. But there's also this need for recognition. The point is that as we come in prayer, we need to come in relationship with the Lord, but it's also important that we recognize the relationship, that we recognize it by faith. You see, we enter into God's presence in prayer through Christ, yes, but by faith. By faith we claim Christ as our own. By faith we look to his work at the cross and we recognize that that work was done for us, and we recognize the blessings, the benefits that flow to us because of that death. We come to prayer recognizing by faith that Christ has died for us, and personally we receive the benefit of it, and therefore we come recognizing that God is our Father. In John 1 verse 12 it says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Yes, Christ died and redeemed to make us his children, but then in terms of our own practical experience, the course of our lives, it was when we received Christ, then we were given power to become the sons of God. When we received Christ by faith, we became sons or daughters of God. And so it is important that there's recognition. There must be a faith within our hearts that embraces Christ as our own. Recognition is involved in our salvation, because salvation is not a passive thing where Christ dies for us and we go on oblivious. If Christ has died for us, well then God will make it known to us, and there comes a point when we recognize by faith. Recognition, faith, it's involved in our salvation, and it's involved in our praying as well. We come saying, "Our Father," and we're recognizing that we can come and speak to the God of heaven on these terms because Christ bled and died for us. There's faith in these two words that embraces the work of the Saviour and claims it as our own. We approach God conscious of this relationship. In the second place, we are to approach God with reverence. We're to approach God with reverence. Given that our relationship with the Most High is defined in this way, as that between a child and a father, we have implied for us this idea of respect or reverence. Now, certainly, there's a loving relationship between a parent and a child, and there can be a great degree of comfort for a child to come to their parents and maybe come with a request. A child can do that comfortably and at ease. But at the same time, there is to be respect. There is to be reverence. The fifth commandment, which the Lord gives us in Exodus 20, verse 12, is honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honour thy father and thy mother. And certainly that applies to our earthly parents, honouring your earthly father or mother. But it applies too with regard to the Lord as our father. There is to be an honouring of him. The word honour means to make heavy or to give weight. And the basic idea is to highly esteem. We are to highly esteem parents. And with respect to the Lord, we are to highly esteem the Lord. We come as children to a father. And therefore we come to one who is to be highly esteemed. You can add to that, that we call him not just our father, but our father which art in heaven. And you see that even more honour is due unto him than to an earthly father. We come to the one who is on the throne of heaven, the one who is sovereign over all of his creation. We are his children, and we are as princes coming and approaching the King of kings, the one upon the highest throne. And therefore we're dealing with the one who is our king and the one who is worthy of all respect and honour. We do have to be careful in the way in which we think of the Lord in general, and especially then in prayer too. There are some who embrace the truth of salvation, embrace the truth of sins forgiven. They recognise that there is no hindrance to the child of God and that we are welcomed into God's presence in prayer. And therefore they do come freely in the place of prayer, and that's good. All of those things are true, and that's right, and we should come freely into God's presence in prayer. We're made his children. We have access to him. But sadly for some, the way in which God is addressed, he's treated as if he's just the big buddy in the sky. Some can be quite disrespectful in the way they think of the Lord and speak of the Lord. Now, we don't want to go too far the other way, and we approach God forgetting the intimate relationship that he's brought us into. He has given us that, and we can be comfortable coming before the Lord in a sense. But we ought to remember too that we are approaching a Father, and more than that, the Heavenly Father, and therefore we are approaching one who deserves our respect. Yes, there's to be intimacy. Yes, we can be comfortable in prayer, but we are to be respectful of the Lord. We are to recognise the one that we are approaching, and addressing him as our Father, there ought to be a desire in our hearts to honour him as our Father, to make him weighty, to ensure that he is highly esteemed. What a privilege it is to come near unto God, not as strangers, and really we ought to be strangers were it not for the Lord's mercy. What a privilege to come not as strangers but as children. And yet, let us make sure that we are never as rebellious children who despise or disrespect their parents, especially when we're thinking of the great Heavenly Father. How important to have reverence for the Lord in the place of prayer. We approach God with relationship and with reverence. Notice in the third place that we are to approach God with dependence. We're to approach God with dependence. We're told to cry out, "Our Father." And again, we're thinking of this relationship. We are the child and he is the father. Now, our relationship with an earthly father changes throughout the course of our life. You know, in our early days, we are young children, we need care. And our father is the one who sustains, who nurtures us, who provides for us. We could add the mother in as well, but we're thinking of the father here. In our childhood days, we rely upon the father. It's very different when we're adults, especially if the Lord spares our father so that we reach adulthood and our father is elderly. Perhaps for some, the father can grow very weak and fragile, and in that case, you would need to be the carer for the father. Well, as you think of those two very different dynamics, it's not hard to work out which one is applied here to the child of God with regard to his relationship to the Heavenly Father. We are certainly not God's carer. He is our carer. We're not supporting a frail father. Rather, he is caring for weak, fragile children. Therefore, when we cry out, "Our Father," we're approaching him as young children, desperately in need of his aid. And just like a young child needs to do needs their father to do so much for them, everything for them. So we need the Lord. We depend upon the Lord to do everything for us. When we come and say, "Our Father," we're recognizing him to be the great provider, the great sustainer of our soul. We're recognizing that he is the one that must give us care and support, and that without his care and support, we have nothing. We come depending upon him. That's part of the reason why we pray. Now, yes, we have a duty to pray. That's the main reason, I suppose. We have a duty to pray, and for the honour and glory of God, we are to pray and seek his things. But we pray as well because we need to pray. We need the Lord to meet the need, to provide for us. We need to pray. We're like young children, and we need our Father to give us those good things that are so important for us. There is much grace that we need to receive from him. And therefore we approach him as a young child, looking up, asking for help from its father. We rely upon the Lord for everything. And as we call God our Father, we are admitting freely that we depend entirely upon him. We are to approach God with dependence. We're also to approach God with expectation. We are to approach God with expectation. Given that we do depend upon the Lord, being like weak children, fragile and in need of great care from a mighty Father, it's a wonderful thing that we can approach God with expectation. Because there is a relationship between us, because he has made us his children, he has paid a great price in giving of his own son to form this relationship, to bring us to himself, to make us his children, to make himself our father, we can expect him to meet our needs. As a father to us, we can be sure that the Lord will want to meet our need. You know, if you're even a half-decent parent, you would want to meet the needs of your children. Now, you might not give them everything they ask for, but if you see a need, a real need, you would want to meet that need, even if you're a half-decent parent. Well, the Lord is the best of parents. He's the best of fathers. And he wants to meet the need of his children. Notice some of the things which Christ says about our Father in connection with this prayer. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and so you can notice some other things that are said in this same message preached by the Saviour. In Matthew 7, still preaching the same message, in verse 7, Christ encourages his people to ask. Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And he explains that God will give good things to his children. He comes to verses 9 and 10, and he says, What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10, or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And Christ is saying, even an earthly sinful father wouldn't respond to a request for bread and for fish by giving a stone and a snake. Even an earthly sinful father would give the good things that are needed. And then Christ makes the wonderful point in verse 11. If ye then being evil, if you who are sinful, know how to give good gifts unto your children. If you, sinful parents, have a natural desire in your heart to give good things to your children and know how to do it, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? You see, when we come to our Father, we're coming to one who wants to give us good things, who desires to meet our needs. Again, we say he won't give us everything we ask for, because we're like foolish children, and sometimes we ask for things that aren't good. But our Father wants to meet our needs. He desires to give us those good things. That's what Christ says. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, says Psalm 103. Verse 13, and the Lord cares for his children. He is a good father. He's not like some earthly fathers that can't be depended upon, can't be relied upon. There are earthly fathers who might in the main desire well for their children, but they end up so taken up in their own sins that they fail their children. Well, the Lord doesn't have the failures of earthly fathers. Matthew 5, verse 48, again from this same sermon, it says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Notice those last words of that. Your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He's not taken up with sin like earthly parents. He's not going to fail his children because of failings within himself. He's perfect. Add to that, that he knows exactly how to nurture you. You have many needs, but the Lord knows exactly how to meet them. He is the only wise God. And as Christ says in verse 8 of Matthew 6, he says, "Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them." Matthew 6, verse 8. He knows. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what I need before we would even ask. And as one who knows our need, you can be sure that he knows how to provide our need. You can come before him with expectation. He won't let you down, child of God. I suppose another issue with an earthly father can be that, well, some do deeply care for the children, do want to meet the need of their children, put their children first, and yet they find that they are so poor that they just don't have the finances necessary to support their little ones. But our Heavenly Father is rich in abundance. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Notice what Christ tells his people in verse 26 of this chapter, Matthew 6, 26. He says, "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your Heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they?" Now the point he's making in that verse is that we're not to take thought of our life. We're not to be panicking about what we're going to eat and drink later on. The reason is that our Father is able to care for us. It's said here that he feeds the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and yet the Lord feeds them. He feeds the birds. If you think of a household and there's a parent with children and they have a pet dog, or even you could say pet birds, well, you could be sure that if money was tight in that household, well, the dog is going to go without food before the children. If the parent can't afford to feed both, the dog is going to starve first. The child is more important. And Christ is saying here, if our Heavenly Father has abundant riches to supply the birds, and if he cares enough to supply the birds, then surely, being our Father, he has the resources to supply our need, and he has the desire to supply our need. We're more important to him. He's our Father. You can pray saying, "Our Father," and therefore you can pray with expectation. You're coming to one who is well able to nourish you. You're coming to one who is well able to provide for you, and therefore you're coming to one who can be relied upon. We are to have expectation as we pray. We don't come to a prayer meeting just to say the words out loud and then go away assuming that nothing will happen, that there's no change, that really our time spent was irrelevant. That's not to be our thinking of prayer. We're to come with expectation. We're approaching our Father, the one who desires to give his people good things, the one who desires to build us up and meet our need. It's worthwhile coming in prayer. We can come with expectation. As a Father, he has his ear inclined to your praying and mine. He desires to give us good things. Today, because of the great work of Christ on our behalf, because of the great adoption which we have received, whereby we're brought into the family of God, we can come to pray with this high privilege of naming God as our Father. And today, I would encourage you who know Christ to recognize your relationship with the Lord. Certainly, seek to honor, to reverence him as a father, but recognize today how much you depend upon your Father and how much you can rely upon him come with expectation. Since these things are so, should we not readily, speedily, come into the presence of God? He stands as a father, ready to supply all the need of your soul and mine. And how foolish it would be if we were slow to approach him. As a father, he stands ready to give good things to his children. How foolish if we would keep our backs turned to him, if we would be slow to seek his help. Because of Christ, because of the great work of the cross, because of the shedding of blood, because of the atonement made, because of wrath put away, because of then this forgiveness of sins and this adoption, we are not spiritual orphans. We have a father, a good father, one who invites us to come near, one whose ear is open. And you can pray tonight saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven." May God bless these thoughts to us. Amen.